Greetings, this is Stefko Sarasevic. The lecture is Advanced Searching with a subtitle, A Variety Tricks of the Trade, and that's exactly what we are going to examine. The central ideas of the lecture, searching is still much more an art than a science, a point that we have made quite a few times already. Main object of searching is to be effective. And we consider effectiveness primarily in terms of retrieval that is relevant. But we also know that there is no such thing as a perfect search. So this leads to various tactics to achieve certain effectiveness goals and levels. To the table of contents, we have 53 slides. 8 of these are titles, so we have 45 effectiveness slides. 5 parts, definition and approaches with 6 slides. The second is search tactics with 12 slides. The third is advanced feature using fields, 8 slides. The fourth is advanced feature using proximity, another 8 slides. And then I have a case studies with 10 slides. So let us go first to the first part, to the definition with 6 slides. And quite a few already we made, quite a few of these definitions, but it doesn't hurt to repeat some just to put the context and reinforce. Advance. Encarta defines advance as more highly developed, at a higher stage of development or progress than other similar people or things. Advanced searching, well, what Encarta just said, that sums it up. It is a searching at a higher level of complexity without which search goals of increased effectiveness cannot be achieved. Higher level of complexity and search goals. Well, let's define also heuristics from Encarta. It is problem solving by trial and error. A method of solving a problem for which no formula exists, based on informal methods of experience and employing a form of trial and error, iteration, using all arrived at by process of trial and error rather than set rules. Heuristic is also a rule of thumb, common sense rules intended to increase the probability of solving the same problem. So advanced searching is indeed a heuristic process. It means that searching is a trial and error process, and it is an iterative process. And by now, you know exactly what I'm talking about, except that I'm giving it a famous complex name called heuristics. It means that searches modify a search and respond to results or to user reaction. It also means that heuristic is a base for searching progression toward more effective results. As a matter of fact, heuristic process and trial and error searching is behind an advanced search strategy and tactics. Goals of advanced searching are to achieve higher level of effectiveness. In other words, getting more relevant and missing more irrelevant stuff. To achieve higher level of effectiveness and a higher level of efficiency, saving on overall time and cost and effort. To center search toward answers and resources most likely to be effective. Also, to focus on focus searches and to get ideas how to proceed. And that's an extremely important part of it. And to use all available system features for goals and act as a professional or extreme searcher. Well, again, a reminder about what is a search strategy and what search tactics are. We call here the entire approach to a search, where it's selection of files and sources to use, approaches in proceeding to search, formats for viewing results, alternative actions if search yields too much or too little, and a search strategy that involves problem-solving heuristics. And then search tactics are specific actions in a query, the command line, which is entered into a system in order to retrieve relevant information and variations. And the variations could be in terms, operators, fields, delimiters, attributes, as, and this is a very important as allowed by a given system. Such tactics also include vocabulary and syntax used in conjunction with connectors and or limiters to a search system. So advanced searching is possible at several levels. It is possible at a strategic level and is possible at a tactical level. When we talk about advanced searching at a strategical level, it means using different approaches to fit circumstances or contexts, independent of but adapted to the system use. Again, a reminder, search strategy is the big picture. Overall approach to searching, decision of what resources you search, and variation in these as search progresses. Advanced searches could be done also on the tactical level, and that is very often milked to the hilt by extreme searches, professional searches, and that means using system features to the hilt to achieve given objectives. But, as I said, features may and do differ from system to system. Search tactics are action choices, to remind you, choices and variation in search statements, query, terms, connectors, and so on, and using the capability of systems. So let's go to the second part of the lecture, 12 slides, in which we examine various ways of approaching an advanced search, various search tactics. In this slide, I list three major tactics. One of them is speed search, the second is building block search, and the third is citation pearl search. The speed search is also called sometimes brief search, that's in dialogue, and it's called meatball search, quick and dirty search, and I like the quick and dirty search the best. Well, what is speed search used for? For questions that are usually simple, for requirements for answers that are brief but not comprehensive, for effort when we are not willing to spend much, little preparation is required. But there is extension to speed search. It's possibly also used as a starting point for ill-defined questions or more complex searches to see what works, what is there, and for relevant feedback to proceed with other tactics. Building block search. It's used for questions usually that are complex and fairly well defined, where the requirements for answers are more comprehensive, where for as far as effort, it is the searcher is willing to spend quite a bit, particularly in preparation. It takes a while to prepare for a building block search, but it also has extension. It is excellent to proceed with relevance feedback to citation pearl growing or refinements. And the third major tactics that we'll examine here is citation pearl-glowing search. It is geared towards questions that are usually complex and not that well-defined, where the requirements for answers are comprehensive, where effort is quite large, and where you are willing to spend a lot, particularly in examination of answers and following and evaluating citation trails. And as far as extension is concerned, it's good to proceed with building block tactics. So what I'm saying, while we identify here three different tactics, speed search, building block search, citation pearl growth search, they are not independent of each other. And as you will see at the end example, I used all of them. Speed search takes little planning and is fast. Searcher gets onto the system quickly, enters the term using default or simple Boolean operator. Only a few terms are used. There is little or no reiteration and limited interaction between search and the system. Speed search can also be used for verification purposes. Results can be examined for relevance feedback. Well, speed search is not recommended for comprehensive searches, but it is widely used and most preferred by users generally. However, for a complex search, speed search has uses. First of all, one has to understand that it's not a be-all and end-all, but it could be a very effective beginning, and I use it very often for the beginning. to do an initial exploring and getting ideas about sources, contents, type of documents, magnitude. I use it also to find some relevant documents and proceed from there, and then to proceed with defining searches using other tactics. You do a speech search, you examine the results, maybe do more and examine again, and on that basis you find succeeding searches and traffic. In other words, speed search can also use as a classic form of feedback. Let's go on now on to the building block search. It is a very commonly used search tactics, and it's more advanced than just speed search. It consists of four elements. You start small and then build upon results. The first element is identification. You take a question and identify each important concept. Also, the facets such as fields to be searched are identified at that point. The second element is elaboration. You take each concept and elaborate further, and find further terms that pertain to that concept. The third point is combination. You start with one or just a few concepts, and as it progresses, you add additional concepts and facets. So you connect them using appropriate Boolean operators and attributes. And finally, the fourth element is iteration. As the search proceeds, terms to concept may be added, subtracted, new concepts created and combined, fields added and dropped. In other words, in the building block search, you build heuristically and modify the query as you go along, adding, changing concepts, their elaborations, and facets. In this particular slide, I provide an example. You take from a question concepts A, B, C, and for each of the terms, you each of the concepts, you identify further terms. So you can add for concept A narrower terms, broader terms, related terms, near synonyms. All these are connected biological or. So you have for concept A, you have term A, A1, A2, A3, and so forth. For concept B, you have B1, B2, concept C, and you add faceted fields, field 1, field 2, field 3. Here's an example. Let's say a question is about a regulation of technology in telecommunication. You identify three concepts: regulation, technology and telecommunication. For regulation, you add related or narrower or synonym terms FCC, regulation, market structure, regulated industry. For second concept, technology, you add technology, technological impact, innovation, technological change. For third concept, telecommunications, you add communication satellites, microwave, telephone, cellular phone, mobile radio, and so forth. Dialogue has a handy worksheet that helps in planning and does exactly that. And at the top of the worksheet, you enter the question where the topic is. The second line is you select the databases, and then you have concept 1, 2, 3, and for each of the concepts, you add terms connected with OR, and the concepts you connect with AND. You in the line of a worksheet, there is a line that says searching style reflect the goals, and there is a space to specify commands, so you can plan the whole search beforehand before you enter and start paying for and start paying. Anyhow, the connecting tactics, what do you connect? Concept in building block searches can also be identified not only from a question, but from resulting documents from a speed search. So if you have concept A, B, C, you can add concept C, D that you specify after a previous speed search, after you elaborated and then added to a substituting building block search set of concepts. And you can use that with the same thing with facets and fields. So you can connect the speed search and building block search quite a bit. You're also using the building block search, very importantly, to narrow tactics. You start broad with using one of the concepts and its elaboration, and then adding others. This way it proceeds from broad, one concepts, to narrower by adding other concepts and then reviewing as you go along. It proceeds by adding afterward facets and fields, which is a way of narrowing it more. And it proceeds by evaluation of as one receives the answers. The fields can be added, limits can be added, and any search narrowing it further. So, in other words, what you can do is you can use it to increase precision and focus. Actually, you can do the same thing in the reverse. You can start with a narrow search and start and broaden it by subtracting concept from a comprehensive search. So this is now used to increase recall and focus. So you can do narrowing to increase precision, and you can do broadening to increase recall. And on this slide, I have a graphical representation of this. In the first search, you search for concept A and whatever other terms A involves, term A1, 2, 3. Then in the second search, you take all what you found with A and add concept B. And search concept A and concept B and all the subterms for concept D, B. In the third search, you add concept A to concept B, and you add concept C with all the subterms. In the fourth, fifth search, you take all what you have and then add given fields, limits, and so forth. So you are kind of building blocks as you go along. Therefore, the name. Here we go to another type of a search, which is called citation purloin search. And what it is, what does it aim? Well, it means what the name implies. You start with a nugget, and you go upon it. This is exactly how they grow pearls. You start with the grain of sand inserted in a shell, and it grows. Anyhow, you start with a few records of high relevance. It looks, the citation purloin search looks at references or who cites this particular reference to find more. It certainly aims for more recall. It is also good because it avoids subject terms, it avoids indexing and language. You're actually not searching by subject terms, you're not searching by indexing, you're not searching by language, although you can combine it later. When to use the citation growing? Well, it's useful to use when word lists or thesauri are not available, when there isn't a large recall after doing some searching, when a user has one or two good articles and wants to find more like them, and when a topic is hot with a breakthrough paper and you go from that breakthrough paper to the topic. Well, as the name citation purloin implies, it depends on citations over time. And we have two kind of over time citation tracking. One is backward chaining, which goes back in time, which means that you follow up references in articles of interest. You move backward in successive leaps to reference lists to find others. Could be linked to co-citations to find out what authors are cited together. And this way of searching, backward chaining, back in time searching, is very popular in scientists and particularly in humanities to get to the key idea, key aspects. Then you can go forward in time and do what is known as citation tracking. You forward chain in time. You take an article and take a look who has cited a given document, a given author, even a given journal, even a given institutions. So you move forward in time from the publication of the item. It is used also to indicate impact. You find documents that have a higher higher number of citations, and you assume that higher citation rate assumes higher impact, and is very, very popular in sciences. The tools that allow us to do citation Perl going searching are citation indexes. And particularly we have identified in this course, and searches in general, we identify three major terms. The first of them, the original, the granddaddy, was Web of Science, or Science Citation Indexes and Dialogues. Web of Science came out of these indexes. The second is Scopus, and the third one is Google Scholar. They are invaluable tools for citation Perl growing. There is no such thing as having that particular way of searching if we didn't have those tools. In the past, citation indexes in various subjects in law and sciences existed, and these were manual indexes and provided for the same thing for a long, long time. Even before computers, the Shepard indexes in law existed since the end of the 19th century, and the way you do citation Perl growing, you kind of go manually and through the pages and search for who cited who. But citation indexes exploded citation Perl growing's tactics because they added automation. You don't go by figures, you go by clicks. Now, some search database provides support for that search tactics, and as a matter of fact, it is integrated with subject searching. You can easily jump from one to the other. For instance, Scopus, Web of Science, and even Google Scholar to a limited degree provides that. In other words, it is very easy nowadays to jump from subject searches to references to citation tracking to source authors. Anyhow, let's go now to the third part of this lecture, and we'll examine advanced feature using fields. We already did that to some extent, and in fact, any and all vendors and search engines had advanced search features. None of them are without them. In principle, most are the same in that they cover similar fields in records. But in application, they differ greatly, as you will see shortly, from vendor to vendor, from engine to engine. And unfortunately, what a bummer, they need to be learned individually, from vendor to vendor, engine to engine. It cannot be taken that what and how it works in one works elsewhere, even though similarities are there. But once you know them well in a few, you can generalize and adapt to others quite easily. Everybody has fields. Everybody has fields for advanced features. They are critical, as a matter of fact, for advanced searching. Advanced searching starts with fields. However, how these fields are displayed, as I already made the point, they differ greatly. Nowadays, we find them mostly in menus, and very often these fields are added automatically, but they're also available in commands. The fields, as we already found out, covers authors, source, year, institutions, type of publication, country, etc. Some of these are used to search on another dimension, for instance, dimension of authors, dimension of sources, and I do quite often exactly that kind of a source and utilizing fields of authors and sources. Others are limited to subjects, for instance, dates and language, and I use these as well. So, in the next few slides, we are going to examine advanced features in various databases. The first one that we are examining here is a screenshot for library literature and information science in Wilson Web. As you can see here, they list various fields that you can limit as to dates, as to document types, as to physical description. And then you can limit to full text articles, to page images, peer-reviewed articles, non-peer-reviewed articles, and you can expand the search within the full text as of the articles for extra results. And as you can see on this screenshot, you kind of pick and choose which fields you're going to use. Here is advanced features for Web of Science, and it looks quite different. What you have is you have fields that are as to time span or give odd years or given years, and then menus for languages, for document types. Then you can search Science Citation Index, Social Science Citation Index, Arts and Humanities Indexes. And then you have field tags, and the tags are such as topic, title, author, group, author, and so on. You can click on these tags and they will be automatically added to the search. Advanced features for Scopus, so you can click on Advanced Search. And you can add to search author, name, or affiliation, and then codes for several tenths of fields. So on the bottom here, you see what they have is an example how you add fields. You search for heart attack to appear in all fields, and then you search for field author named Smith, and then you search fields, title, abstracts, or keywords, somatic complaint of women, and then you restrict the publication year after 1993, and the source title is field or ontology, and then volume is 75, issue 1, and page 53, and you get the specific article that you want to search for by adding these fields. Well, advanced feature for Google, yes, it has quite a bit. And here is what Google says itself. You can do a lot more with Google search than just typing a search term. With their advanced search, you can search only for pages that contain all the search terms, do not contain any words, is written in a certain language, is created in a certain file format, was updated with a certain period of time, contain numbers within a certain range, don't contain adult material, and so forth. Nancy Blackman, a librarian and web trainer, has written a Google guide that is totally independent of Google. And it's a very, very useful tool to look at what is available in Google. And here we are looking at the pages of their query input. And the pages, as you can see, give you quite a bit of information how to do it, how to enter the query, how to use different operators, and how to do other tables of contents, how to go selecting search terms, how to interpret your query, how to craft your query by using special characters, how to use quoted phrases, how to do the plus operator, and so on. So this is similarly to the guide to Dialogue. Here is a guide to Google, and as I said, it is independent of Google. Well, here is a screenshot of advanced features of Google, and you have fields such as results per page, such as languages, file formats. As a matter of fact, I use these file formats quite a bit. For instance, where I want to find lectures that other people did on advanced features, which I did when I composed this particular lecture, and said, give me in file format PPT, only PowerPoint. So then you can use date, usage rights, numerical range, and more. Well, what about the use of advanced features? Many studies show that users, when they're searching for themselves as end users, use them rarely, if at all. The users, they do not use Boolean capabilities, they do not use availability of searching by given fields, they do not restrict searching by available delimiters, and so on. But professional searchers use them a lot. As a matter of fact, use of advanced features is one of the hallmark of professional competencies. Okay, let's go now to the fourth part of this lecture, and we'll talk about advanced features using proximity of terms. And I think there will be some surprises in when we examine this. It's such a simple idea, is that you search for terms that are X word apart. 1, 2, 3, 4 word apart. One after the other or in any others. You search for terms that are in the same sentence, same paragraph field. and you search to improve precision because it zeroes in on specific names, expression. It's extremely important for searching, particularly for users in fields with set terminology. And it's very much connected with phrase searching, which is a very, very powerful way of searching. It is a very simple idea, right? Because in language, when you talk, we understand immediately what is a phrase and what is not. But it's handled very, very differently by different databases. And to find out how it's handled, you must go to help. And here are examples. Here are examples. Phrase and string searching, which is similar to proximity searching, that's what they call it, from help in the library literature in and information science full text. And what they are showing here, when you read what they are talking, that they have something that they call all smart search, which is an advanced search. And it's possible to create a bound phrase by entering quotation marks around the terms. Now, for example, a search in the title field for a record called Companies Not Behaving Badly will treat the not as an operator. Companies not behaving badly. So, and it eliminate all the search term behaving badly. So if placed within quotation marks, the phrase Companies Not Behaving Badly returns the exact title. In the library and literature and information science, you can also use relational operators, for instance, to search for Dewey decimal classification. And the relational operators, here is the proximity operators, are contains, ends, matches, starts, subtracts. So suddenly you have quite a few different operators to do proximity searching in this particular database. Let's go to another database and we go to Web of Knowledge, and boy, do they handle this differently. You use the operator same, and to find records where the terms separated by the operator appear in the same sentence. For instance, they give an example, beverage, same bottle, find records in which these terms must appear in the same sentence. So their proximity operator is same. But they have a few more restrictions. To search for an exact phrase, enclose the phrase in quotation mark. For example, the query, and I'm reading from their help, the query energy, conservation will retrieve records that contain exact phrase energy conservation. But if the phrase contains a stop word, and as you will see, they have something like 200 stop words, then the search will find phrases that contain any word in the position of the stop word. For instance, you search patient undergoing radiation as a phrase, quotation marks, you will find patient undergoing radiation, patient receiving radiation, patient failing radiation, and so on, because undergoing, receiving, and failing are the stop words. So, you will use the phrase searching very carefully in Web of Knowledge. Here is an example of Scopus. And the way they use it is still different. You use proximity operators, and I'm reading from their help, to specify the term. Two terms must be within a certain distance of each other in the text field being searched. The Scopus has the following two proximity operators. Pre/n, which means precedes by, where the first term in the query must precede the second by a specified number of terms. And they have w/n, within, where the terms in the query must be within a specified number of terms. Either word must appear first. So when they give an example, when you search pain within 15 of morphine, it'll find pain and morphine that are no more than 15 words apart. But when you search behavior, pre/3 disturbances would find articles where behavior precedes disturbances by 3 words. If you want to find them next to each other, then you have to enter digital pre/0 library to find digital library next to each other. So here the proximity operators are used quite different. Well, let's go to the second aspect, which probably is the most surprising aspect for you and for most people who are not dwelling into advanced searching, and this is about stop words. We all know that words have stop words, and these are the words that databases and search engines choose to ignore. For searching, they will note their position, they will count them, but they will not include them in the index. Some of them are also for indexing, but they will not index them to start with. So different databases use very, very different list of stop words and handle them very differently. Dialog has nine stop words. A, an, and, by, for, from, of, the, to, with. As you notice, they don't have stop words A because it can be used as vitamin A. So how about the others? And here are again a few examples. Scopus. Scopus tells you that stop words are ignored. They don't list which they are, but they tell you that they're personal pronouns such as he, she, we, they. Most articles such as the, and. Most forms of the word to be such as be, is, was. Some conjunctions such as, because, if, when. Well, library literature and information, the full text tells you that certain common words, and I'm reading for them, help is, like R, for, and D, appear too frequently to be useful in searching of text. However, and they don't tell you exactly what they are, but however, they tell you that you can use them if you want to. For instance, Franny and Zoe, if you put and in quotation mark, it'll search for and, or Franny and Zoe as a phrase. Okay? And here is one of the most interesting and, to my mind, in most weirdest example of stop words. The Web of Knowledge, Web of Science, has some 200 stop words that are ignored while searching, even in phrases. So I give you here on the slide a partial list, A, about, above, according, across, actual, added, after, against, ahead, all, almost, alone, along, all of these stop words. Stop words made, make, makes, making, many, meets, must, nearly, outside, overall, and so on. And here is their example, which they tell you, watch out. When you search for vitamin A, it finds every record that contains the word vitamin at a topic field. The letter A is ignored. So, for example, if you search, and this is their example, quotes, patient undergoing radiation, and undergoing radiation in quotation marks, it'll also find patient undergoing radiation, patient receiving radiation, patient failing radiation, and so on, because undergoing, receiving, and failing are stop words. So you really have to watch how do you search in that particular database. Google, again, Google handles stop words very differently. Google, here is, I'm reading off their help page, ignores common words and characters such as where and how, as well as certain single digits and single letters. Google ignores stop words when they're placed in searches along less common words. For example, a search, and I'm reading, the sound and the furry will only return results for the term sound and furry. However, the search that only includes stop words, for instance, the who, will process as is if you have only stop words. You can instruct Google, and I'm reading from their help page, to include stop words in search by adding a plus before it. So you can search star words, and then you add plus, star words episode, plus one. Because one would be as a search term ignored. Okay, this is the last part of the presentation with 10 slides in which I will illustrate how I use, and this is a real example, my own question, and it is a reality show. And here is what the question was. This is a real question and a real reason I have. The question is, search engines offer a number of features for searching. They also retrieve a large number of answers. How much are these advanced features used? How many pages do people look at? So my question was, how much are advanced features in search engines used, and how many pages do people look at? What's the contents of this particular question? I'm interested in studies that have actual data, and I'm using for several things. To be update for bibliography in this course, and for a discussion in a lecture book that I'm writing on relevance in information science, to support broader conclusion. I actually used this question for both, and the search for both to update the bibliography and to use in this particular book. First, I used library literature, which is available at Rutgers. I did not get anywhere, so I lost patience and switched. Then I used Scopus. It is not available, as you know, at Rutgers, but you have it in class, and all the results that I have are from Scopus. Okay? First, I selected some basic concepts. For the search concepts, I selected search engine, advanced search, and I did a speed search on that. And then I did the building block search. I enlarged the search in terms from index terms that I found in the few, or I thought of them myself. So I added terms, concept web, and terms such as web searches, online searching, web queries, web sessions. And for methods, I added transaction log analysis, search log analysis, and searched. This particularly resulted in a broad search and a lot of results. So then I went to limit certain fields and dates. So as to facets and fields, I add to search limitations social sciences only last 2 years. And later on, I added to look for articles with a lot of citations to show which one have impact. So at the beginning, I went to building block search. First speed search and then building block search. Okay, here is one of the searches. And this is a screenshot from Scopus. I searched for online searching that appears in title or abstract and search engines. I limited the years 2000 to present, and I limited to the social sciences. And I examined about 6 pages of results, and here are 3 major selections. These are screenshots of three selections. One is the Elements Advanced Search by Hawk. The other one is Speed Searching by Notes. And by the way, these are all included now in your bibliography. And I think one is now required reading. The 2 of them are required reading. And then after quite a few pages, as a matter of fact, it was 111 articles that I examined, I found an article that became a mother lode, not only for having statistical results, but for citations. The articles are How We Are Searching the World Wide Web, a comparison of 9 search engine transaction logs by Jensen and Spink, and it appeared in 2006 in Information Processing and Managers. And this kind of caught my attention. As you can see on the right-hand side, there's a little number that says 53. It means that it was cited 53 times. I said, oh ho. So here is an abstract for that particular search, the record. And here is what I examined. The screenshot is there is a little button that says output. And what I use it, I simply put it output and then set it that I want it in the RFT form, and I got immediately an entry for the bibliography, which I used immediately for the bibliography. There are references, it has 60 references, and I looked at the references. Now, as I already mentioned, it was cited 53 times, and then I can elaborate and look who cited it. You also can click on authors and get a profile of the authors. And this little envelope says if I click on it, it'll create an email message for the authors so I can contact them themselves. So let's go to the next screen on that particular. Scroll down. And I found match terms, the keywords. So this kind of gave me ideas what keywords could I use, other keywords in for further searching, but it also gave me an opportunity to search related works by all the keywords that are shared with this document or by selected keywords that are shared with this document. And that's a very, very powerful tool to go through reference index terms, cited by, and related terms. So let us now go articles that cited it. Remember, there were 53, and I examined them and found quite a few interesting ones that appeared in 2008 or before. And here is an example of a few. When I examined them, I decided not to use any of them in the bibliography, but I did use one or two of them for entries, potential entries in the book. So what this example gives you, a multiple use of tactics and results. What I have used is search tactics. I use speed search. I use building block search. I use citation pearl search. And then I did references to backward chain. And then I did cited by forward chain. And I use very successfully the relevance feedback. So here is what the results are. I've got a few references that are included in class bibliography. I got data to include in lectures and in the future book. And this is an important and, I used it as an example to illustrate the topic for this lecture. In other words, what I did is what Marcia Bates calls berry picking search. And in conclusion, I don't have words for conclusions, but the picture to the left shows an ancient astronomer looking in the sky. Yes, that's what you do in search tactics. And then you have a modern person exploring something at the bottom of a tree. And that's what you do as well. Well, thank you very much, and I hope that you will profit from this lecture. Bye.